Good to be back with you. If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn back to Titus chapter 2, continue with a message to the young men. So Titus chapter 2, verse 6, young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. Exhort to be sober-minded, to be clear thinkers, self-controlled. Now, one of the things that that this can come across as is a, obviously we talked about it this morning, a high standard, but it can also come across as sort of a hard message. One that is going to be very, very difficult for anybody to really attain. And so as I acknowledge that, I also want to say that the same thing could also be said with the young ladies, the young women, the message that we preached last week. And that is why it is so important that we regularly seek to encourage one another in attaining or in cultivating these kinds of character qualities into our lives. That's one of the reasons why we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but that we should be busy provoking one another, stirring one another up to love and good works. One of the things, you know, we said this this morning that just the whole idea of having any real clear-cut standards can be foreign. And what happens when you don't have any standards is that you don't really have to give any encouragement, right? I mean, if there's no goal, if there's nothing for you to actually attain, then what's the use for encouragement? You don't really need it. But brothers and sisters, when God has set a standard, and we recognize that this is a standard that has been set by God, and we've been given the grace of God to teach us and to mold us into the character of Jesus Christ, and then we think about the importance and the vital importance that the body plays in this whole cultivation of character, then, and we'll talk about this more in a later message, but you cannot overstate how important encouragement is in these kinds of areas, because we're all gonna fail. We're all gonna feel like we're not making the kind of progress that we need to be making. We're all gonna struggle. We're all gonna feel like this is something that's higher than I could possibly attain. And what sometimes needs to happen is someone comes along and says, "Hey, you know what? I just want to encourage you because I've noticed lately that you have really grown in this area, or what I saw you doing last week was a real testimony of God's faithfulness to cultivate, you know, fill in the blank in your life. I've been praying for you about this particular thing," whatever it is, just interaction and encouragement. It's the way Paul talks about it with Timothy when he says, "I want to stir up the gift that's within you." Paul says, "I want to add oxygen to the fire that God's already set." Right? So there's a little fire there, and it's the flame is set. And Paul says, "I want to add as much oxygen as I can so that that fire can burn and burn and burn and burn." Sometimes we think that the way to get people motivated, and I myself have had this mindset before, the way we get people motivated is that we beat them over the head and we pile a bunch of guilt and shame on them, and that's just not the way it works. It's not the way growth works in the kingdom of God, because all that guilt and shame has already been laid on Jesus Christ. We're free from that, and now it's this encouragement that comes from the body as we speak truth in love, and sometimes, you know, we do convict and we do confront, but for the most part, you are not your brother or your sister's parole officer. You're their cheerleader, okay? And I'm afraid sometimes we have a difficult time with that. So I just, again, want to lay that out, that in God's economy, it's the encouragement of the body that helps to continue to spur men and women on to love and good works, particularly what we're looking at here in Titus. So we said, young men, be sober-minded. Think clearly. First, we said you need to think clearly about your calling. You need to think clearly about your calling. God has called you at a fundamental level to be a leader, to be a provider, and to be a protector. Okay, to be a leader, to be a provider, and to be a protector. And you need to be thinking clearly about that and clearly about what you're doing now to set yourself up to grow into that role and to continue to grow into that role as the Lord brings more and more opportunities your way. Number two, to be a sober-minded young man, you need to think clearly about yourself. Okay? You need to learn to think clearly about yourself, or maybe I should say, you need to take the time to think clearly about yourself. Look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. After Paul, we were here earlier this morning, after Paul says that rather than being conformed to the world, you should be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you would be able to prove what is good. That is, you would be able to discern what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Then in verse 3 it says, "For I say, through the grace of God, or through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly." That's the same word, okay? To think clearly. "To think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." Here Paul says, I want to encourage you to learn how to think clearly, accurately about yourself. Not just about yourself as far as yourself as a person, but also about what it means that the grace of God has visited you if you are a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. So when we think about this from a young man's perspective, and we're just trying to think from an evaluation standpoint, I mean, you already know what the stereotype is, right? Most young men think they're 10 feet tall and bulletproof, right? And far smarter than your parents, okay? Or at least with more wisdom. You get it. They don't. Well, if you're going to learn to start thinking clearly about yourself, it doesn't just mean that you're going to start identifying all the negative things about you, but one thing I would encourage you to think about from the outset is to know your abilities. Know your abilities. Know the strengths that the Lord has given you. What are the gifts that God has equipped you with? I could be wrong about this, but I do think there are well-meaning men who are pretty well inactive when it comes to serving in God's kingdom. And I think one of the reasons for that may simply be because they've never figured out where they fit, okay? Where they can serve, what they can do. That's something you ought to be thinking about early on, young men, if the Lord has converted you at a young age. What are your strengths and what are your abilities? What do you notice? Who do you notice? What areas of service might you be fit for? Because the truth is, not everybody's fit for every area. Okay? That's just the reality of it. There are areas that I'm not fit for that you might be, and there's some areas that I might be fit for that you may not be. Part of it is knowing and thinking about how is it that God has equipped me? What are the abilities? What are the strengths? Now, when I say that, there's going to be some opportunities that come along to where you're able to serve and it requires no abilities at all outside of just, you know, seeing what's in front of you and responding. I hesitate to do this, but you'll understand. I'm not bragging on myself when I do this. It's just the way it happened. I was driving to church this morning. I saw Jose, who was with us, on the side of the road. I've seen him a bunch of times before. I'd always heard he does not like to receive a ride. And he was kind of leaned over like something was wrong. So I said, "You okay? Is there something I can help you out with?" He said, "Yeah, I need a ride." And so he gets in the car, and I said, "Well, what do you need?" And he said, "Cappuccino and cupcakes." I said, "Well, okay." So we went to Dodge's and got some cappuccino and some cupcakes. And I said, you want to come to church? And he said, yeah. Well, you know, cappuccino and cupcakes, a small price to pay for a, you know, a little evangelistic opportunity there. So he came, sat through the service. No abilities required for that, right? None of you should be intimidated by my skill level in that scenario. You can buy cappuccino and cupcakes. So when you're thinking clearly about yourself and you start to weigh your strengths and weaknesses, it's not that you're going to be limited to that, like this is the only area I ever serve in, but it is that you're going to be more aware in those kinds of areas, simply for the most part because you like that kind of thing or you're wired for that kind of thing. The Lord's gifted you in that area. And as opportunities to serve come along, you'll be able to do that. But another part about thinking clearly about yourself is knowing your vulnerabilities and your weaknesses. Okay? Knowing your vulnerabilities and your weaknesses. Young men as a whole are typically not very good at that. Typically not very good at that. What are the things that tend to... What are the cares of the world from Matthew 13 and the parable of the sower? What are the cares of the world that tend to choke the Word of God out of your life? Okay, you ought to give some serious thought to that. And you ought to try to make some adjustments based upon that if you're going to grow, if you're going to, again, cultivate the kind of character the Lord wants you to cultivate. What are the areas in your life where you lack self-control? Okay, we all have them. We all have those areas where we lack self-control. And so as you identify those, then you're going to hopefully learn to start avoiding those or putting up some safeguards, making sure that you're not putting yourself in a position to where you are sinning against the Lord based on something that you had already foreseen, something that you already knew you were weak in. So whether that's... who you're hanging out with, whether that's what you're looking at when you're on a computer or a smartphone, whether that's the vulnerability to stay up all night and sleep all day, whatever it is, you want to think clearly about yourself and clearly about these vulnerabilities and weaknesses so that you can then do something about that, so that you can, number one, be praying in the right areas, but number two, be working to grow in those areas. Another thing you might try to identify as you're trying to think about yourself clearly, in what areas of your life do you tend to make foolish decisions? Okay, in what areas of your life do you tend to make foolish decisions? Again, we all have those areas. Okay? We all have those areas. And so if you can identify that, then what's the strength? What comes from that? Well, you find someone who is wise in that particular area, and you begin to try to seek wisdom from them as these decisions in your life come up. So, you know, it's one thing, like just for an example, if you tend to be foolish in the area of finances, you know, you can listen to Dave Ramsey or you could hear me preach a message on money, but you're probably going to get a whole lot more help if you find someone who has learned in their own life to be wise with their money and get them to disciple you or help you in that particular area. What about areas in your life where you tend to be lazy? What are some areas in your life where you tend to be lazy? Now, lazy can go by, you know, a lot of different terminology. I don't know if you've picked up on this or not, but it's not in everybody, but one of the idols, I think, in our culture is just relaxation, okay? A lot of times we use the word relaxation in place of laziness, but there's more R&R going on now than probably there ever has been. And don't get me wrong, rest and relaxation is not bad. It can be a good servant, but it's a horrible master, okay? And if the bulk of your time is being taken up with rest and relaxation because you put in that intense 2 hours earlier, something's wrong, okay? So where do you tend to be lazy? Why would you identify that? So that someone might be able to come and you might be able to seek help from someone in correcting that area. Here's one thing, and we said this about encouragement earlier, but one thing that Satan feeds all of us is this idea that everybody has it together except for me, right? Everybody I know seems to have all this stuff together except for me, and the truth is, none of us have this together by nature, and each of us has to learn, and each of us has to grow, and we're all learning and growing in these areas, and it doesn't make you deficient in some way because you need to grow in one of these areas, okay? The other part about that is, in a lot of these ways, the lessons you'll learn, you can either learn them the easy way or the hard way, okay? And the hard way tends to be pretty miserable. So I would just encourage you, as you're thinking about yourself, you know, you have parents that know far more about you and understand you far more than you think they do, more than likely. And they could give you some advice and they could give you some help. And then the same thing with the brothers and sisters in the body that you're a part of here. So, thinking clearly about yourself. Thinking clearly about yourself. Number three, you need to think clearly about your enemy. Okay? You need to learn to think clearly about your enemy. When was the last time you thought about the fact that Satan's got a bullseye on your back right now? Okay, for some of us, it's been a while since we've had that thought. For some of us, we live life knowing that the devil exists, but we almost feel like we're flying under the radar and he doesn't know much about us. And brothers and sisters, there couldn't be any thought further from the truth. Okay, every believer, and I may be exaggerating here when I put an emphasis, but I don't think I am, particularly every new or every young believer is going to be intensely tempted by Satan. You know what Satan hates worse than anything else as far as your walk with the Lord? Growth. Growth. Satan wants to distract you. Satan wants you to believe that you can live a double life from the standpoint of coming to church and putting on a good front here, but then throughout the rest of the week doing your own thing and having set your own priorities and all these other kinds of things. I'm afraid that sometimes, and we're all vulnerable to this sort of thing, sometimes we get confused into thinking that our enemy is actually our friend, right? When those temptations don't seem all that bad. When the things that we know we're supposed to avoid seem far more attractive to us than the things we're supposed to be pursuing. And honestly, things get that way because we are not thinking clearly about Satan, about our enemy, about the world, the flesh, and the devil. Look in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 8, he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Did you notice the first command here? The first thing Peter says? Be sober. Think clearly. Satan knows how to disguise himself as an angel of light. Satan knows how to tempt you in just the right way in the areas that you're the weakest. And so Peter would say, think sober about this. Be vigilant. For what reason? Because Satan is seeking those whom he might destroy. Now, we're not going to get into detail about this, but we could. I want you to think about the people that you know who have been devoured by Satan. Okay? We could name off people from this congregation who have been devoured by Satan, who are being devoured by Satan right now. And it's just like so many other things. We think about this and we think, well, you know, that happens to some people, but it can't ever happen to me. I'm a little smarter than that. I've got a little more control than that. I've this, that, or the other. But brothers and sisters, the truth is, if we're not working to cultivate a sober mind, if we're not cultivating clear thinking about Satan, really we're walking right into the lion's mouth, aren't we? Then you go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse starting in verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. He says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So there's a command here. Do not love the world. Now, whenever Scripture talks about the world in this sense, it's not really talking about the physical earth. It's talking about the world system, right? Satan is the prince of this world. He's talking about the world system that we live in a fallen world. And it's the world system that really does know how to play upon the lust of your flesh. Okay? The sinful part of you that remains, right? If you're a believer, you're still having to fight against the flesh. If you're an unbeliever, then you're completely in the flesh. But it's not just, we go here just to say this, it's not just the devil that you're trying to look out for. As you think about knowing your enemy, Satan is your enemy and he's seeking to devour you, but you are also your own enemy, and if you're not careful, you will self-destruct because of the love of the world, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And so, John would say, don't love the world or the things that are in the world. So how do we practically think about this? Well, some people have looked at it and thought, well, what we need to do is try to isolate ourselves as much as we can from anything in the modern world. And so you have folks like Amish and Quakers, and they live a completely separate lifestyle as far as the modern world kind of thing. And you know, and in all reality, I'm not saying there's not some wisdom that goes along with that. I mean, they have separated themselves from, I'm not going to be Amish, but the fact that they do it, I'm not criticizing them. On the other side, rearranging all the outward things, if we're not careful, we'll forget about the fact that it's the inward heart that's attracted to all the outward sin that the world dangles in front of us. Right? So, should we be separate from the world? Well, the answer to that is yes. Does that mean that you need to live as if you don't live in the 21st century? I think the answer to that's no. But I will say this. When you look at the things that you are being entertained by, when you look at the things that are part of your daily habit, when you look at what you're consuming through what you're listening to, what you're reading, what you're watching, the people that you're hanging out with, and all those kinds of things, if what you find is that the bulk of those things lack any spiritual value at all, and really have been influenced by the world's standards, then it may be time to make a few changes. Okay? So it's not wrong, and I've said this before, you know, there was a big, I guess there still is, a big emphasis in some circles about, well, we don't have a TV. You know, we don't have a TV. And that's fine if you don't want to have a TV. You don't have to have one. But if you do have one, you can watch things that are not full of filth. I'm not saying there's a lot out there to choose from. But you can watch things that aren't full of filth. You can get filters that are on there. But you see, the problem is, I really do think the problem is that we just go from one ditch to the next. So a couple of generations back, it was really popular to do the no TV thing because you were going to separate yourself from the world. And then people began to see, okay, there's a little bit of legalism going on here. You can't actually mandate that from Scripture, so we'll bring in the TV, and I'm not saying everybody, but for the most part, what I have noticed is a worldliness that's gone over to the other side that said, I'm not going to be bound. I'm not going to have a legalistic approach. And so what that has meant is I'll just choose my own standard, and whatever I want to watch is what I'll watch. Whatever I want to listen to is what I'll listen to. And it's just worldly. Okay? So don't hear me say you can't watch TV. You should hear me say you need to be very discerning about what it is you're filling your brain with, particularly if you're a young man. You need to be very careful on the way you're thinking about particular areas. So, young men, you need to guard your heart when it comes to the way the world wants to shape the way you think about women. Okay? I know, we just came through a big deal a couple of years ago with this Me Too movement, and the secular world was all on fire about respecting women more and this and that. And then you start to look and see that there's some of the most gross endorsements of degrading women that you could think of coming from that same group. Men, the world, the flesh, and the devil would make you think that women are objects for you to use. That's not the case. But do you know if you're listening to that all the time, if you're watching that all the time, and you're reading and feeding your mind on things like that all the time, that's what you're going to believe. What you're going to believe. And you say, well, you know what, I know better than that. I know what the Bible has to say. Well, it's like I said earlier, it's good to have it in your head, but your heart's going to win out every time. You might be able to give a good talk about what the Bible says about the way a man ought to treat a woman, but if your heart is full of lust and your heart is being fed by the world, it's going to win out every single time. So, brothers, I would encourage you, think clearly about the enemy. Think clearly about the world. And then, just in general, your enemy would have you to believe, and this is in whether you're talking about your family or other people in general, your enemy would have you to believe and adopt the attitude that you've been placed on this earth to be served. Okay? That's called entitlement. Anybody notice a shortage of that? Okay? It's all over the place. You want to know why? Because the enemy's really good at allowing us to believe that the world is here to serve me, my wants, my desires, my thoughts. And so as we think about the lust of the flesh from verse 16, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, he says this, it's not from the Father, but it's of the world. And the world is passing away. Now this was mentioned earlier during the break between lunch, and I think maybe we even mentioned this in a few messages back, but as you're listening to this, young ladies, you ought to be paying attention because some of this is going to apply to you. But number two, this is the kind of man you need to be looking for. Okay? This is the kind of man you need to be looking for. If he spends more time on his hair than he does reading his Bible, that's a big, okay, that's something that ought to be a red flag. If he's consumed with worldliness and he doesn't care anything from a spiritual standpoint, that's a red flag. So, young men, be sober-minded. You're going to think clearly about your calling. You're going to be thinking clearly about yourself. And you need to learn to think clearly about your enemy. Now, there's plenty more of these that we're going to look at next week, but I'm going to leave us there for now. So, may God bless you. May God bless us to grow and to encourage one another to grow into what God would have us to be. Let's pray. Father, we do look at these things. We do look at a passage like Titus 2, and if we're thinking clearly, we do say, who is sufficient for these things? And so, Lord, we're thankful that not only have you called us to this, but you, through your grace, through the power of your Holy Spirit, and through the help and encouragement of the body of believers that you've surrounded us with, you've given us the ability to grow into what you've called us to be. Father, we thank you for that. I pray that you would bless us to pursue it, and that in that you would receive glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.